Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Greetings and a warm welcome to this, our second edition of Brock and Roll here on MinervaRadio.uk, brought to you by Coldy Media. Brock and Roll is all about forgotten but beloved tracks. Should I say beloved or beloved? It's beloved, isn't it? Beloved tracks from the history of popular music. Pieces that, although a little lost in time, you know, still mean a great deal to us all. And we began the series last month with an hour's worth of Island Record classics pulled in the main from their budget samplers. And that's gone down very well, I'm glad to say. This time out, we're revisiting a similar period of the early to mid-1970s, I suppose we could say, to consider one of Ireland's competitors, the Vertigo Record Company, although they weren't really able to consistently produce quality alternative sounds on a par with Ireland. They were still able to release some absolute gems as well, such as the one you've just been listening to, In Between the Crackles, direct from vinyl. You can't beat that, can you? It was Bordeaux Rosé from Fairfield Parlour, which was released by Vertigo in early 1970. And I loved it as a kid. And Fairfield Parlour were, in fact, Kaleidoscope. Yeah, I don't know whether you know that. No, right, okay, because Kaleidoscope had been in existence in 66 to 67, and they'd created quite an underground stir, really. They had a single out called Flight from a Shear, which is brilliant. We'll have to play that, won't we? And the album Tangerine Dream, of course, where the German band took their name from. And also another one called Faintly Blowing, which was a lesser album in my book. And my favourite Kaleidoscope single has always been A Dream for Julie, which we also must play. Brilliant, that. But success eluded them. So having come into contact with BBC DJ David Simons, some of you all know that name, towards the end of the 60s, they appointed him as manager. And he kind of persuaded them to agree to a name change, hence Fairfield Parlour. And the single Bordeaux Rosé, which despite loads of airplay, failed to chart. I loved it anyway. Kenny Everett played it a lot, as I remember. And a Vertigo album called From Home to Home followed from Fairfield Park. Very rare. And a lot of the stuff I'm playing for you today or tonight, this evening, etc., is very rare stuff. If you've got any of it, hang on to it. They were also, you know, Fairfield Parlour, the opening act of the Isle of Wight Festival in August 1970, because they'd recorded the festival signature tune called I Love Wight, which is terrible. But anyway, they broke up about 72 to 73, but highly collectible. OK, so we've had a Vertigo miss. Let's try now for a Vertigo hit, and I'm sure you'll know this one.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire, use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house built on the roadside, made from a rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney and it's built on a top, made from a human skull. Now come on, baby, let's take a little walk. Tell me who do you love? 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 Now my old man, he took me by the hand. He said, oh, yeah, do you understand? And tell me who do you love? Tell me who do you love?
Lovely stuff. Vertigo's first single release, V1, was the catalogue number. Splendid version of Bo Diddley's Who Do You Love by Juicy Lucy. I'm sure you knew that. Formed out of the remains of the Misunderstood. Does anybody remember them? Basically an American band based in the UK for a while. Pedal steel player Glenn Campbell or Glen Fernando Campbell, as we used to call him, to distinguish between the other Glen Campbell, did well in the singles charts, got to number 14, but it was kind of a, almost like a bigger hit than that. You know, everybody knew it, everybody loved it. Spring of 1970, I certainly bought it. And the first album is full of tight, really well-constructed songs. I really like the album. But how did Vertigo begin? Okay, well, a guy by the name of Olav Viper, that's with a W, Olav Viper, he launched Vertigo soon after he joined the Dutch-owned Philips label. And Philips were kind of, you know, struggling a little bit by that stage. They weren't very trendy, so to speak. And Viper had previously worked at EMI and CBS. And he'd been involved with the development and the advertising of the Rock Machine, I Love You and Rock Machine Turns You On series of samplers. So he kind of knew the market for it. And, you know, he had a good reputation in the music industry. At CBS, he pulled off certain stunts as well. People liked him, you know, promoting that fondly remembered sampler series. And he was headhunted by Philips and given a free hand. So one of his first jobs was actually to revive David Bowie's Faltering Space Oddity single. And he gave, you know, the Bard of Beckenham, as they call him as well, his first hit record, because it was doing okay, but then started to struggle. So Viper got behind it and sort of reactivated it in many specs. Worked closely with managers as well, especially a guy called Jerry Bron. Jerry Bron managed three acts, Coliseum, Uriah Heep and Juicy Lucy. And they'd already been signed to Philips, and so he could work with Bron very, very closely. And I noticed on some of these information I've got, on November the 6th, 1969, an advert appeared in the underground newspaper International Times, It, we called it, showing a large picture of the Vertigo Swirl. And the advert said, "Watch this label for the sounds to listen for. Cut it out, put it on your player and switch on." And the first three releases that came out was the Valentine Suite and Coliseum, Juicy Lucy's first album, and Manfred Mann Chapter 3. But actually, for my generation, it was the first Black Sabbath album released that really made a splash. In spite of some awful reviews, Sabbath's fan base were big at that stage because of their live performances, plus the fascinating sound picture that put the album in the charts. Let's have a bit of that, shall we? gosh, isn't that great? I remember them doing that at Southport Open Air Baths in 1970. They were brilliant. I'd never heard anything like it, really. Black Sabbath, Behind the Wall of Sleep from their first album. Black Sabbath, basically. It's just an album, isn't it, really? That wonderful, wonderful imagery on the front. I loved them. I thought they were great. Really did. And Vertigo, of course, are in the middle of a really successful initial period at this time, really. Commercially popular acts like Juicy Lucy on the one hand, getting in the singles charts, plus Colosseum, John Heisman's group, Black Sabbath. And they started to sort of, Viper in particular, started to support, you know, backwaters of this sort of music, you know, the underground. And so Gentle Giant and Clear Blue Sky and Dr. Zed, they all get signed as well. Really underground stuff and hardly known, really, very small audiences for them. He was an enthusiastic manager, actually, as well, and he led from the front and he believed in his acts and he would frequently discuss things with the likes of Jerry Brown to see where they're going. He'd go and see them live. Something of a novelty in those days, you know, and you can imagine the usual record company executive still regarded as anonymous main suits. Olaf Viper was a completely different kind of guy. And I've often thought, I wonder if he went to see this lot. I've always liked this particular track. This is Clear Blue Sky.
It's in the name of my heaven.
I think that's a really hypnotic track. That's Clear Blue Sky and their song My Heaven from their only Vertigo album, the eponymous Clear Blue Sky. It's incredibly rare. Incredibly rare. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if that album maybe even fetched four figures now. I'd have to, that's if you can find it, you know. The band were from Essex, apparently. And they were discovered by one of my heroes, Patrick Campbell, Lions of Nirvana. He'd started producing for Phillips at that stage. And they were playing in an Acton youth club. Imagine going into the youth club and then hearing that. You'd just walk out if you were a soul boy, really, wouldn't you? But great stuff. I love it. Only one album was released, although another was recorded and they split up, you know, 18 months later or so, really. And of the first 17 records on Vertigo, 7 charted in the UK and were significant sellers at the same time, which meant they hung around on the charts for a while. And the Sabbath records, of course, were huge sellers, even outside the UK. But the yardstick of sales, believe it or not, for a success, let's say, was only 1,500 copies. They said, OK, if you sell 1,500, we'll sign you to another album deal. And they were making a profit, and that profit was going into Phillips's coffers as well, because Phillips were struggling a bit at that stage. So right from the outside, they did a lot as a team, really, to give Phillips a new credibility in the rock scene and for progressive music as well. And that team evidently recognised the talents of Ian Matthews. Now, Matthews had left his own band behind, Matthews Southern Comfort. That was at the end of 1970. And, of course, they'd had a number one hit single with Joni Mitchell's Woodstock, hadn't they? But he'd left the band and Vertigo immediately signed him. And just a brilliant album emerged from it. Very highly regarded, If You Saw Through My Eyes. Do you know that one? It's have a look for it. It's really, really good. And Matthews, of course, had also previously been a member of Fairport Convention. And their imprint is all over this album. For example, take a little listen to this.
All is not so black today, it doesn't matter anyway. Ever since I fell away, the only thing I seem to say is well. Little boy from Saturday came home in style. Still he wondered what he'd be. In a little while he wondered where. He wondered well. Did the brother want to be the way he'd always seemed? Acting kind of leisurely in all this company, you might ask well. You might ask well, well, well. You might ask well. Turned the key, fell through my hand. I stopped to tempt the lock, but it didn't understand. It knew me well, it knew me well, well, well. Little girl so tearfully sat upon a sinking ship. She counted up to 99, must complete her trip. She did it well. She did it well, well, well. She did it well.
Lovely stuff there. I really like that. And if you don't know that first Ian Matthews album, If You Saw Through My Eyes, have a little look around for it. You might even find cheap CDs full of them now, you know, going for, you know, I don't know, buttons really. But it's a very, very good album. Great album. Second one was recorded by Ian for Vertigo as well. Tigers Will Survive, which is good. Not as good, I don't think, but it's really good. And then he left and got signed by Elektra. Elektra Records signed him. Speaking of whom, Elektra will be featured in Brock and Roll number 3. So we'll have some great Elektra stuff now. Can you? Oh, gosh, there's so much, isn't there? Could do like an entire 10-week series on Elektra Records. Okay, let's go back to Vertigo and have one from Ramesses now. Now, Ramesses was a central heating salesman from Sheffield who believed he was the reincarnation of an Egyptian god. I kid you not. He'd actually released a couple of singles with his partner. It might have been his wife, but it's certainly his partner, Selket, prior to being signed to a deal with actually future members of 10cc. So the 10cc crew were kind of establishing themselves as producers. They'd been linked actually to Jonathan King's UK label at that time, but they were starting to build up the Strawberry Studio setup in Stockport as well. And they play on Ramesses' first album, which was released by Vertigo in 1971. The album was entitled Space Hymns, and this is Life Child.
So that my spirit could be free, life child. We left you hanging on a hill. Why won't we ever do?
Thank you.
That's Ramesses, the former central heating salesman from Sheffield, but, you know, doing stuff with what became 10cc, of course, at that stage. And Viper picked up on that right away as well. He always had a tendency to do that, really. Built a label that supported this artist, painstaking at times in detail, and he was able to tap into what was happening on the ground through group management. So he was always directly working with managers. As, for example, I mentioned previously, Jerry Bron, who was a very, very important manager. And, of course, Jerry Bron was able to get people into the album's charts by virtue of getting them on package bills. And one of the examples of that, like Black Sabbath, actually, was Uriah Heep. Do you remember Uriah Heep? Still a very popular band now. They weren't a critic's favourite, just like Black Sabbath, but they were very popular with gig-goers. And they, you know, people flocked to see the band as they changed their musical direction as well, because they went from kind of heavy rock into a kind of progressive rock. But the change was evident, and, you know, people went to see them. That built up a real, real groundswell of fandom, really. And their second album, Salisbury, was a big seller for Vertigo. So I've pulled one from the Salisbury album for you. This was a bit like Sabbath again, really. This was pulled from the album as a single with the hopes it might make the charts in the same way that Black Sabbath had done so. But to no avail in many respects. But see what you think of this. You'll know it anyway if you're a Sabbath fan. And it's Lady in Black.
My labor is no
A Lady in Black. That was the tilt at the charts for Uriah Heep from the Salisbury album. The album's a massive seller, but that didn't get in the charts. So they didn't kind of repeat other heavy Juicy Lucy, Black Sabbath type things. And they did progress, though, but they left Vertigo. I think that was their last album. Their second and last album for Vertigo was Salisbury. Uriah Heep, tilt at the charts. The single is not now very collectible, I think. If you ever saw a copy of Lady in Black in that junk shop in, you know, Nottingham or something, pick it up. I'd pick it up and just clean it off, put it away, put it away. Lovely stuff there. But speaking of singles, we'll have to play this, won't we? Status Quo's top 10 hit on Vertigo from January 1973, Paper Plane. I think that was actually their first single for Vertigo after this long-standing and mostly unfruitful deal with Pye had finally ended. They'd been without a deal for a while, I think, until Vertigo came calling. But just in 1970, they'd had another hit, hadn't they, with that really good track, In My Chair, which did very, very well, but then they didn't follow it. The deal was lost. They were touring. I remember seeing them at the stadium with Slade, and both bands were really good, but Quo were unbelievable, really. So in a way, Paper Plane was like a follow-up to In My Chair, but there was a 12-month gap. But, you know, what a powerful band they are. I mean, it's nice to think that they're still kind of, there's a legacy still there, isn't there, of all of that? Because it did, again, another one that the reviewers didn't really get to them. They didn't understand them, I don't think, but I always thought Quo were a great band. Okay, time for a bit of Brock and self-indulgence now from one of those groups I really liked when I was kind of 16, but my friends didn't. We all have one of them, didn't we? A jazz rock band called Nucleus, who were formed by trumpeter Ian Carr, along with Chris Spedding, Carl Jenkins and John Marshall. The latter two went on to join Soft Machine as well. And they released a lot of albums on Vertigo and are still considered, along with If, I think, as one of the UK's best jazz rock outfits. So here's a track from their second album, which is called We'll Talk About It Later. I absolutely love it. It's called Song for the Bearded Lady.
Thank you.
bit of duet in there. Lovely stuff. A Chris Bedding there on guitar. Fantastic, that I'll play. I play that all day, but I don't want to play too far into it because I want to get another couple of tracks in now as we move to our denouement, we might say, and give you a real rarity. Only one LP ever emerged from the trio Dr. Z. Now, I'm calling it Dr. Z, but actually, you know, it could be Dr. Z, I suppose, really, couldn't it? And it's one of those things. No, let's call it Dr. Z. It's a British band, isn't it? Anyway, their album was released in 71. And reputedly, get this, only about 80 copies were ever sold. It was entitled Three Parts to My Soul. I've never, ever seen it. So it's one of the most difficult, not only Vertigo albums to get, but major label recordings to find. It's incredibly rare. And of course, it must fetch just unbelievably big money, really. And naturally, you know, having found one, it would, you know, you'd pay your mortgage off with it, I would think, probably. A CD was reissued some time ago, and to be honest, to my ears, it did sound promising, so it's a pity it didn't sell even more. There was a guy called Keith Keys was the band leader, and I think he was a professor from North Wales, maybe, from, you know, close to us here on the Wirral. And like Clear Blue Sky, they were also signed to Vertigo by Patrick Campbell Lyons. So even though Patrick's a great guy, you know, he doesn't seem to make Vertigo an awful lot of money, really, in many respects, but there we go. So let's see what you think of this. This is Dr. Z and Evil Woman's Manly Child.
Your
That's a good one. That's Dr. Zed. That doesn't get played on radio very often. Evil Woman's Manly Child. And that's possibly the most, one of the most expensive tracks you might listen to here on Minerva Radio. How much the album goes for these days is just, you know, beyond imagination, really. Really interesting stuff. And actually what had happened at Vertigo by this time was that Olav Viper had left the label. He'd been lured away by RCA and he attempted to make Lightning Strike twice with RCA, and he started the Neon imprint. You remember the Neon imprint, which was kind of progressive RCA thing? And there were only 11 albums released on Neon. I remember Dando Shaft, good folk rock band they were, and Tonton Maku, and I had that album for a while. I just picked it up in a junk shop, you know. But then they ran out of gas. So a lot of Vertigo's top line groups after Viper had left jumped ship. And inspired by Viper's success at Vertigo, Jerry Bron then established his own label, and it was linked through to Chrysalis and Island then, and he signed Colosseum, Uriah Hoo, Juicy Lucy, it all went there. 73, Black Sabbath and Gentle Giant both left and joined another label, etc. So the days were over, really. The heyday, both in music and collector's terms, was probably between 70 and 73. So let's go out with a track from one of Vertigo's first batch of releases, Manfred Mann's Chapter 3 and Travelling Lady. And has anybody seen where I've put my chocolate flake?